It's and my office is hard to find.
So please introduce yourself.
Okay. My name is Sonia Meinke, and I am a senior program manager with the Windows Server group, specifically in the customer engineering area. Mm-hmm. And what this group does is we're kind of a central group that manages customer engagements for product groups, but we also, within our team, drive a lot of those customer engagements ourselves, as in take part in them, plan the strategy around them, and that type of thing. The TAP program is part of this group. Mm-hmm. The Windows Server Customer Advisory Team is part of this group, so it's those types of functions.
So you're primarily working with early adopters for Windows Server adoption?
That's a big part of it, but our goal is to establish those customer engagement opportunities throughout the product lifecycle. But that's definitely kind of the core piece of where our engagements happen now, and we're building up those other areas.
How long have you been at Microsoft?
I have been at Microsoft since April of 2001. I joined Microsoft through an acquisition, which was Great Plains.
Mm-hmm.
Spent time in the Fargo office.
Uh-huh.
And actually spent a lot of time there because I actually grew up in Minnesota and went to college in Moorhead, which is in northern Minnesota, across the river from Fargo. Oh, and
so do you have a technical background? Or?
No, actually. But I, oddly, since leaving college, have spent all but 2 years in more of the technical field. Mm-hmm. I have a communications and English background. I started out working for a newspaper in small town Minnesota, and from there moved back up to the Fargo Moorhead area and got onto Great Plains and have been involved in everything from technical writing to, you know, different project management roles to program management to managing web development teams to a number of different things. So it's just kind of, I synced up well with the technical side of the world, and it's been a nice kind of marriage of focuses of coming in with not necessarily a computer science degree, but a degree that helps me kind of adapt mm-hmm. easily to different
so
situations.
So do you help people translate between geek speak and what customers that, need and want?
That has actually been a spot where I've found myself quite often in my roles. It's been taking, back in the Great Plains days, we worked largely through partners, but also had customer connections, and, they were telling me specifically what they wanted to be able to do online as far as support, getting technical assistance, connecting with product groups, that type of thing. But they don't speak in terms that, the developers need to, speak to create something. So I've always often found myself in that middle ground, which has helped me get really comfortable with speaking the technical speak and working with them, but also never really losing touch with the true customer voice.
Right.
Excellent.
So this is the Women in Technology series on Channel 9. So as a woman in high tech from Great Plains to Microsoft, what's your experience been like as a female?
It has been a really good experience. I mean, obviously there's challenges for anyone, in this industry, male, female, whatever. But I think I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of groups that there wasn't a lot of outward conflict, simply because someone was a female. But it is, even today, I don't notice it so much anymore, but if I just take a step back in some meetings, I'll be sitting there and thinking, oh, there's 15 men and, two women. But it's like, mm-hmm. it's just a very open environment, and I've never run into issue necessarily in meetings or even one-on-one dialogues where I feel like, they don't respect my input or my opinion. And I think a lot of it is just really relies on just a good solid communication style and open and you know, it's been from the Great Plains days into Microsoft. It's been challenging, maybe from the perspective of just having so much to, you know, get your head around. Mm-hmm. And I typically am not the one that wants to live in a space where I just focus on, you know, this much of the problem. So because, you know, the business needs and the, you know, what our customers are asking for isn't getting any smaller.
Sure.
It's like, you know, just getting my head around that and then, you know, working with a number of different personalities. Again, male or female doesn't really matter necessarily. Hmm. But I think the more of the challenge in the space has been just understanding that broad perspective and working with people who some maybe are more inclined to focus on specific areas, but figuring out a way to blend that, I think has been more of a positive challenge to, you know, come up with a solution. But, you know, it's been great in that I really certainly haven't had any doors shut just because I'm a woman. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of it is just is what you bring to the table, and
sure.
You know, having that confidence to, you know, just share your thoughts, ask mm-hmm. questions, just to kind of get down to the bottom of, you know, what you're all striving for.
Well, we started this show 2 years ago, and I think it's clear,
three
years ago. My goodness. But I think it's clear, becoming clearer to us that yes, their doors aren't being shut. And that's really, when we first started, we were curious about that question, and we had some interesting conversations about that. But you mentioned an interesting thing, and that is thinking outside the box and looking at the big picture. And it seems to me, and though we debate a little bit about this, I think there could be actually sort of a physiological reason for that. And I'd like to see more women working on the concurrency problem, in the sense that it's so incredibly complicated with so many different facets that we need to have bigger, broader thinkers that can step outside the box and go, wait a minute, let's look at the whole problem.
Yep.
And analyze it that way. And then you can have the knuckle draggers that are down doing the sort of hardcore engineering, which some of them will be women as well.
Yep.
But I think this is an interesting conversation point that I think is something we should continue to talk about on the show.
So if there's not a problem,
I never have questions. That's not my role
just
here.
Comments.
I'm just the knuckle dragger behind the camera.
All right, so to your point, though, how do we get young people, like girls who are still in, you know, junior high and high school, how do we get them involved in high tech and interested in making sure that they don't think this is like, you know, a world dominated by geeks and the male knuckle draggers, if you will?
Yeah,
and well, when I have a 13 and 10-year-old girls at home, mm-hmm. and, you know, I've had conversations with my 10-year-old where, you know, she just will ask, what do you really do at work? You know, do you just go and sit near your computer? And well, and then I try to, you know, explain to her that, you know, the different parts of Microsoft and the different roles and, you know, with a 10-year-old, I'm not going to go deep, but just starting to help them, because obviously they're just deep into technology already, much deeper than we were necessarily growing up, but just helping them understand that, you know, it's not just about the, you know, coding of the programs or the games or, you know, whatever it might be.
Yep.
There's a lot of people at Microsoft who also, you know, they have to manage those projects, and then there's a whole lot of people who are just listening to, you know, people like you guys to figure out what is it we need to build. So it's, you know, I've tried to explain for as long as their attention span will go, you know, that a lot of it is relationships with people, of, you know, figuring out what is it that we, you know, our consumers want from us, and just helping them understand, I think, and see that it's not just people working 20 hours a day at their computer cutting code and testing it and then, you know, just shooting it out the door. It's, I think, just exposing them to how broad this effort mm-hmm. really is to come up with the right programs, services, products. You know, whether that's, you know, I brought my older daughter to work a few years ago for the Bring Your Kid to Work Day, but mm-hmm. I think once they get into the junior, you know, middle school, junior high, high school is where, you know, we really got to kind of connect with them, and they're starting to form then what kind of, you know, what they think they may want to do in the future. But I think it's just really important to expose them to that. I mean, it's a fun area because, you know, you have so many opportunities and, you know, nothing is just already sketched out for you.
Absolutely. And lots of people will use your products,
yeah,
as we found.
Millions. So what's one of your absolute favorite things about working at the firm?
I think it's the, well, there's a lot of things, but just a couple of the bigger things would be just the variety of people that I interact with every day. And even outside of that circle, just the opportunities of you know, the diverse people that I'll interact with that you really just wouldn't have the opportunity in a much smaller company. And, you know, with that, I'm referring to males, females, you know, different nationalities, just something to broaden my scope. And, you know, both from a work standpoint.
No worries.
My gummy bear song is coming on. Ignore, please.
Ignore. Keep on going.
You can push the ignore button.
I don't know how to use Windows mobile devices.
That's compliments.
What do I do? Ignore.
Ignore. Thank you. Compliments to my 13-year-old. So the opportunity to interact with a wide variety of people, both from a work standpoint and a personal standpoint of just, you know, getting to know that different aspect. But also just the flexibility of work here, where, I mean, you're basically given, you're given an objective, and it's like, go figure it out. You know, it's, you don't have to punch in at 8 and punch out at 5, but here's your problem, figure it out. Someone
awesome.
Wants to get a hold of you.
Someone wants to get a hold of you, yeah.
Office Communication Services.
You can ignore
services.
That, too, please.
So you're hooked into OCS.
Yeah.
Yes.
Charles.
Yes.
Well, I'm getting close to wrapping up, so I
well,
have to
of course,
do your,
we can't
last
wrap up with
big.
Asking, yeah, with asking, uh-oh, like, the fundamental question that sort of drives this whole series, which is,
comes.
Why are there so few women in this industry? And I'm talking about, I guess actually what I am talking about is specifically along the sort of the engineering side, right? Because if you go to the HR building,
yeah,
you can't walk past two offices without one of them being occupied by a female,
yeah,
species. So it's sort of trying to understand at what point do people become interested in the abstract arts of math and science,
yeah,
and programming and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're just trying to figure out, you know, what is it that scares, say, your daughters, perhaps, away from math? Have they already come home to you saying, I don't like math? Or are they kicking ass in math, which is great?
Well, they are at this point. In fact,
excellent,
you know, a little plug, my 13-year-old was, you know, put into a challenge math class this year in 7th grade.
Sweet.
But of course, she at first is like, oh, I don't want to do that because, you know, the teachers just, based on their previous thing, recommend they go in there. And you know, she's thinking, none of my friends will be in there. None, you know, I'm not going to know anyone. But now, she loves it.
Excellent.
So, I think, and I spent a few years on the marketing side of the world in Great Plains as well. So I think having lived in both worlds, I think there's just unfortunately a perception that the engineering side is just, it's all, you know, tech speak. It's all just a bunch of coders. It's all, I don't think people have a really solid understanding that, you know, without certain roles in the engineering side of the world, these people who are you know, developing aren't going to know what to develop.
Exactly.
They aren't going to know, you know, the quality that our customers are expecting, or, you know, the business needs that they're actually, you know, developing the products for. So it's, you know, just like we, you know, need to get in front of girls growing up at the middle school age or high school age, whatever, to help them understand the whole, the broad technology space better. I think even internally, mm-hmm. helping people understand, you know, you don't need to be afraid of the mm-hmm. engineering side of the world. There's a lot of really nice people over there. And,
sure.
aliens.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is, you know, when I was on the marketing side of the world, I didn't have a clear understanding either of all the different layers that really made up the engineering mm-hmm. Side, because the thing you hear most is, you know, this is the group that develops the products, and
yeah.
you don't hear that much about, you know, the other, you know, required
mm-hmm. yeah.
positions that have to go in to make it a real thing. So.
That's right.
True, and it's usually associated to one name, and that one name actually probably didn't write a line of code.
Yeah.
Or test.
That's
yeah.
right.
Or PM.
Yeah.
So, great point.
Yeah, and then, you know, just to round that out, it's a lot of fun to be in meetings with, you know, more of the deep technical folks, because coming from, you know, I'm looking at things a little broader and a little higher up, and I can ask questions or make comments that then they kind of go, oh, because, you know, they have their focus. And
great.
I think I've had opportunities to see, you know, those two different perspectives come together to kind of form a more solid direction.
Excellent. And I think further, like, Ritzy,
yeah.
you know, if more and more people write code or get into the sort of the engineering mindset, I think, like, engineering is sort of a democratizer.
Yeah.
Gender means nothing, because if you're talking algorithms with, you know, a dude from India and a dude from California and a woman from Illinois, gender has nothing to do
yeah.
with the equation. Absolutely
yeah. the
nothing.
The great equalizer?
Absolutely. So write code, man. And if you're... And all I'm saying is, or do math. Like, for
yeah.
one of the things we're finding is, like, a lot of the people we've interviewed that have gone on to have technical careers have been really good at math. The parents
just
and the
yourself.
Friends and the support network needs to go cool.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's not like it can't have stigma being nerdy or geeky or it's got to be cool.
We're not geeks. We're not nerds.
It has to have
yeah.
a cool factor.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my daughter's learning that right now in her math class.
Good.
Beautiful.
She realized, you know what, there's some cool people in this
That's
class.
Right. it's good to be smart.
There
are cool, fun people.
Smart is cool.
Well, thank you for participating. It's Women's History Month, and so we appreciate your support.
You're welcome.
Cool.
Have a good
Great
one.
Great job at Microsoft. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Customer engineering.
Let's go.
Right on.